In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Welcome to the season of Lent, one of the most serious and holy seasons of the year, leading us to the holiest season of the year, the 50-day season of Easter. It is to remember and reiterate that Lent is not and never is a season, an end in and of itself, but always a means to an end. Though we contemplate the seriousness, the somber reality, the suffering, and the death of Christ even on Good Friday, we do so on this side of history, on this side of the resurrection. And knowing the end of the script makes all the difference how we contemplate these serious moments. This difference in standing on this side of history is articulated in my favorite Lenten hymn that we will sing many times throughout the season. The glory of these 40 days we celebrate with ceaseless praise. This homily today of your charity is a bit longer than most. I'm a big believer in 10-minute homilies, because when you're in an Anglo-Catholic parish, if you have too much, it crushes under its own weight. But sometimes on the first Sunday of Lent, Palm Sunday, Easter Vigil, a few Sundays, we go a bit over. So I ask you to bear with me a few more moments, because the homily is in two parts. I'd like to offer the traditional words that should be said each and every first Sunday of Lent, and then to do something and to say things I've never said in the sermon before, and to have a few moments that I'm going to have some fun. But first, the traditional words. And that is, Lent really comes to us in two parts. The first half of Lent, in the Bible stories we read, the lectionary, the service, we contemplate the interior sufferings of Jesus, like today, the temptation in the wilderness by Satan, his struggle with the religious authority, his struggle with his disciples, his struggle in the world. And in the second half of Lent, we literally contemplate the physical, literal sufferings of our Lord, culminating on Holy Week, his death on Good Friday. And these two parts of Lent are, we can see physical differences. They're honored by physical differences in the church. Throughout the season of Lent, there are no flowers adorning the altar. Some of the images, and we have more to do, are veiled as if to take a fast from the eyes, from some of the beautiful images. The Alleluia is discontinued. That great cry of praise in the church, in Hebrew it means the praise of Yahweh. The cry that is closest to the heart of Mother Church, we bury into the time of Easter. We discontinue the singing or the saying of the Gloria Excelsis, the time of Maundy Thursday. We simplify our masses somewhat. And then we add devotions, such as we do here, Stations of the Cross, the Benediction, a beautiful Christian education series on mere Christianity, and more. And then we can say also for us as individuals, Lent is in two parts. We first contemplate what we call our interior purification. And then we contemplate our spiritual renewal. I mentioned first interior purification because that's what we usually talk about in Lent. It's part of my traditional words, and as we should. So what does it mean to the interior purification? It means this, that we are created to love and serve God. I love, who grew up Presbyterian, anybody? The old Presbyterian catechism said it right. What is the chief end of man? Humans. To love God and enjoy God forever. And so we have short lives. And so it is our purpose to know that if we have purpose, it's in the serving, in the hands and feet of love of Jesus Christ. And so what Lent tells us to do is, once in a while for these 40 days, to stand in front of the mirror and to do the difficult thing, to ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that might be impeding my growth as a son or daughter of God? Is there anything that is a stumbling block in my life, holding me back from being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ on this earth? Because life is too short to waste a moment, not serving the love of God. And it is a difficult thing to look into the mirror and to say, I have to look at the intensity of the sun. Is there something I need to change? Do I need to change my relationship with food or alcohol, myself, or human being, my work? Is there something? It's difficult. And lo and behold, we adopt disciplines in Lent that we could not sustain for 365 days of the year. And I bet it would not be healthy to do so. I've known Christians who live the entire year, their entire life as a Lenten discipline, only thinking about their shadow side, only thinking about the depravity of their sins. And you know what? They end up being spiritually sick. Thank God we have, in the Anglican world, the Roman Catholic world, the Orthodox world, the Presbyterian world, we have a balance of the Christian year. We have this season, and then we'll have 50 days of nothing but rejoicing. So we do the difficult thing to ask ourselves, and let us do that in the privacy, perhaps, of our own prayer closet. Is there anything that's impeding your love for Jesus Christ? And then to think, cost what it will, come what it may, I will address it. Because life is too precious to miss out. Now for the second part. We talk now, but also it is a time of spiritual renewal. And that often overlaps with the interior purification, but we rarely talk about it. It's also a time not to just grovel over cut glass. Lent is the time to say, what am I good at? What are my strengths? What has God given me for this world? And are there ways that I can nourish and embellish those things that I might become the daughter of the Son of God that I was meant to be? And so it is important as we think about what to give up and what to add on and the discipline, also to use our imagination and creativity. And what I would like to do, I've never done this, but I have the privilege of all these years, now as an old priest, hearing what people do for Lent. I would like just to share some random stories only to inspire us to use our imagination and creativity as we think about the spiritual disciplines we adopt. The first is a little boy. Well, I was a young priest, he's about 7 years old, and his whole family, the church, would think, I'm going to give up chocolate, I'm going to do this, I'm going to add a Bible verse. And he declared to his family, I am giving up ice cream. And the mother said, oh no, that's too big. You got to chew what you bite off. And she was worried, but he was insistent. No, I'm going to do it. And it became a family affair, that discussion. And what was beautiful about that is, 7-year-old children have faith lives. Kids aren't here just to wait it out so they have a faith life later on. They have a faith life at 3, at 7, at 10. And if that faith life is nourished and honored and listened to, they will have a faith life at 12, 18, and 25. And the mother took it seriously, and the father too. And the mother said, let's take this another step. How much do we pay for ice cream? Let's get a box, and every time you give up ice cream, let's put some money in the box. Then at Easter, let's go find a little boy, a little girl, or both, and give them a certificate to ice cream parlor. Someone who can't afford to have some ice cream. Why not? We have a plan. And Lent became not a problem to be solved. It became a mystery to be lived, even though it had sacrifice. Another thing, he was at a birthday party midway through and forgot and ate some ice cream. He was devastated. His mother also had to teach not these words. It's not an end in of itself. It's not an idol, Lent. It is a process of grace. And they continued with the discipline. What a beautiful thing to teach a child. Story number two. A young man had family, had mother, father, had all these responsibilities, had so much going on in his life, he didn't know which way to turn, 6 ways to Sunday. And he had no time for quiet. He had a 45-minute commute every day. And every day when he got in his car, the first thing he did was turn on that radio, the talk shows and the music. And he decided to give up car radio for Lent. And at first, the tension of silence was devastating. And he came, though, to learn to so appreciate and the thought that came to his head and the spiritual renewal. Such that when Lent was over, he actually, in large part, continued because he became very jealous those few times of life. Story three.
A woman, I got that too. A woman watched her mother die. She was devastated. She was so close to her mother. And after the death of her mother, what blessed her the most were some of the friends of her mother, that generation still wrote notes. They wrote her letters. And not just saying, I'm sorry for your loss, but say, I remember when you were 4 years old, your mother was feeding you, and how you dropped the spoon, and this, that, and the other. And she said, I just reread those letters. That is what gave me comfort. And then she said, wait a minute. I can write. And so for her living this way, she bought a third grade handwriting book in cursive, and she practiced, and she said, I'm going to write 4 letters a week to someone who needs encouragement and affirmation. And she started to do that. And it gave back to her in ways that she could never explain. And she continued that joy long after the season of Lent. Another woman I knew that, and I think some of you might identify with this, she said, I grew up Episcopal, and like my Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, we never learned the Bible. And she said, I go to church, and when they read from the lectern, it's white noise. And she said, I try to read the Bible, and it's just too complicated, so I'm going to cheat and read the Cliff Notes of Beowulf before reading Beowulf. And she went, she bought a little children's book about the stories of the Bible. She said, I at least want to know the stories, the narrative of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, all these people. And lo and behold, when she would come, at least she would know when they were referred to in the readings, the stories of the Bible. She did. And this Bible book she had began to be real to her. And in time, she began to even read in the Bible. And last, just for this series, I love this. I'm kind of this way too, but a woman once said to me, I'm an extrovert. I'm not an introvert. I'm not a contemplative. My contemplative friends close their eyes and have visions, and God is just pouring His grace on us. I close my eyes and nothing. And she said, so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to show up to the extra services of Lent and hope that through osmosis, something sticks in. And she just showed up. But she's a people person. And what happened was she began to know people at the church, and she began to enjoy some of the places she went. And it gave back to her, because why? She went with what she was good at. She went with her strength. It wasn't just saying, what is missing? But what do I have? So brothers and sisters, I share these things only to inspire all of us to use our creativity and imagination as Lent, but not to waste it. Don't miss the chance to make it different. It's our only time, it's the unique time of the year that we can be deliberate in our spiritual walk. And finally, I end by the most important thing of this sermon, because I believe it with all my heart. I say it with conviction. We're living in a world that seems to be on fire, at least in my lifetime. It never has seemed to be on fire as it is today. Governments and people at the war, the people hurting, the starving, the people scared, the people insecure, the people in famine. And we might say to ourselves in a cynical way, this giving up a piece of chocolate or alcohol or taking on a Bible verse, what is that when the world needs so much? And I ask us to remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000. When the 5,000 were hungry, Jesus said, what do you have? And Andrew said to him, there's a little boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he said the powerful phrase, but what is that among so many? What is that? What did Jesus say? Bring it to me. And he fed 5,000 people. And what Jesus says to us in Lent is, as trite as it might be for us, bring it to me. Give me what you do. And through the grace of God, and through my promise, and through the love of a parish, and through faith, and through the love of God that is eternal, it will be like the sponge when crackers, the dried sponge in Cracker Jack box when it hits the water. It will grow. I will multiply these little trite things, such that after 40 days, you will be a changed person. And you will be better able to be my hands and feet in a very hurting world that needs us. Either small ways or big ways. The promise is, the promise of Lent, is that God's grace and our love will bless what we do. Blessed be this season of Lent. Amen.